All right, thank you. I'm a compulsive overeater, and in my case, a 100 pounder, and my name happens to be Rob. Today's a great day to be abstinent. Today is a great day to be a membership, a member of this fellowship called Overeaters Anonymous. What you're about to hear are my opinions only. I am just speaking from one suffering compulsive overeater to my fellows. I want to thank Anne, the speaker caller, for allowing me to participate in my recovery. I never turn down a program request if it's reasonable, and I seem to be able to stay abstinent that way. If you like what I say, great. My phone number's in the chat for those on the recording. Sorry. If you don't like what I say, go ahead and send those remarks to Anne. No, thank you, Anne. I appreciate your service. Let's start at the beginning, shall we? Where was I born? I was born in a Catholic home for unwed mothers. My birth mother was not able to keep me for whatever reason. And my adoptive mom wanted to have children, but was unable to. She was unable to have natural children. So for her, I was a gift. She's 93. I talk to her almost every day. You could ask her if I'm still a gift, and you never know what she'll say, but she's a gift to me, that's for sure. She was very loving and very protective growing up, and her solution to a lot of things were food related. Have a bad day, here's this. Skin your knee, here's that. School rough, oh, here you go. This will make you feel better. Huge Italian Irish family. She was the oldest of seven. We celebrated everything with food. Birthdays, holidays, funerals. It was all around food. I looked a lot like my cousins, don't you know? And there was a lot of us. It wasn't until I started school that I didn't quite look like my fellows. I wasn't really part of. There was this thing called a camera. And another thing called a mirror that really pointed out those differences. And, young people can be so welcoming of folks that are not the same as them. Maybe you've experienced that, but I sure did. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. Back then in school, here's some of the names I was called. They don't bother me anymore. Pig, porky, hips, lard, fat boy, and husky. One year, we were going to shop for back to school clothes, and I was with my mom. And in a loud voice, she calls out in Sears, "Hey, Rob, the husky section is over here." A couple aisles away, I could hear laughing. It was two girls from my school, with their mothers also shopping. And that was my nickname that year. Hey, husky. Oh, that was so endearing. I just loved it. I loved every day of that. Little bit of sarcasm there, but not much. Things I've tried. Chapter three of the Big Book talks about things we've tried. I tried diets. I tried restricting. I tried bulimia. I tried exercise bulimia. I tried this thing once called Zetacap. It was supposed to swell and tell you were full. Well, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm never full. That was a couple hundred bucks of nothingness, right? Because I'm not full. It was outside the return, so I couldn't even send it back. In the 80s, there was this popular talk show host that, went through this thing called Optifast. And she lost a lot of weight. And I thought, yes, that's the solution. That's my cure. I'm going to do a medically supervised weight loss program called Optifast. I was over 100 pounds overweight again. And looking for, help. I did everything they told me to do. I didn't know it, but at the time I had the gift of desperation. And I went down there, got in the program, lost a whole bunch of weight really quickly. I was a star. I really was. Everybody told me how good I looked. And at the end of that, they introduced food again. But I'm me. I have anger issues, resentments. Not feeling part of, not enough. And a lot of that came back. And so did the food. And no matter how hard I tried to hold on to that, I couldn't. I sunk my claws into that because it was my cure. I was done. It was never going to be that way again. Never. Ever. Till it was. You know, I was chiseled. I was a statue. Put me in the Louvre with the other statues because I've arrived. You know, this thing of obesity was licked. It wasn't licked. The weight came back. The compliment stopped. The self-talk. You're a loser. You can't stick to anything. What's wrong with you? You said it would be different this time. Why can't you just stop? Why can't you just stop? Well, I can't stop because I'm a compulsive overeater, but I didn't know that then. So all those feelings came back. The not being part of, not enough, resentments, anger issues, and don't you know my marriage failed? Huh. Who would have thunk it, right? So I found myself no longer in a home with a small child and a wife. I found myself in a small apartment, all the way across my county alone. My disease loved that. Isolation is where it's its strongest. That's my lower power, and it talks to me. It tells me all those deceptive lies it's told me my entire life up to this point. It'll be different this time. I'll make that all go away. You're a victim. None of this is your fault. You have no part in any of this. It's all her. Funny thing was, work went south too. All about the same time. Imagine that. It's all of these people, you know. It's not me. It's them. F them. Feed me. I'm going to take the poison. They're going to suffer. I'll show them. And there I am alone in that apartment. What does a guy like me do when down in the dumps? I go shopping. I got all my old friends, my old binge foods, and it hit me. I can eat exactly the way I want to, and there's no one here to stop me. Oh, I'm going to eat what I want, when I want, how much I want. And I did that. I went shopping. I brought all that stuff back. And I had higher power on one shoulder, lower power on the other. My disease. And, you know, I call my higher power God. You can define yours any way you wish. And I had heard about this thing called Overeaters Anonymous. A seed was planted. I don't even know where. So this fight goes on in this kitchen with this pile of binge food, lower power on one shoulder, higher power on the other. You know you don't have to live this way anymore. Oh, don't listen to him. Come on, we'll make it all go away. Come on, don't you remember what it was like? I'm comfort. I'm medicine. I'm friendship. I'm love. I am love. Don't you remember when you were bullied in school and we were just alone in your room and it was all great? Yeah, it was great till it wasn't. Don't you remember that too? Don't you remember after being face down in the food, the scale would go up, the pant size would change, the teasing would increase? Oh, don't listen to him. That was then. This is now. It'll be different. This went on for a half an hour. Spiritual warfare is what that was. That binge item went in the disposer. I knew that if I put it in the trash, I might dig it back out. I hadn't eaten out of the trash yet. You're eligible too, but I knew I could. And in it went, and I found my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. That apartment that I picked and didn't know why, it was 3 blocks from a meeting. I could have walked there. There was this lady at the door. I don't know her name. I call her Grace. Grace was at the door that night and saw me crawling up the sidewalk, said to me, as I'm crawling by, "Are you new?" I said, yeah, I'm new. It must be the crawling, I don't know. She said, "That's great. We have a seat for you. Come on in. Glad you're here. Oh, by the way, this is a reading." And she tried to hand me a laminated piece of paper that looked like it'd been there a while, right? "We read these in the meeting and we'll call on you. Can you read for us?" Without even thinking about it, I said, "Nope, I can't read. I'm new." I can't read. I'm new is what came out of my mouth, as if being that beaten down, that low self-esteem, last house on the block, took away my ability to read. I took speech and debate, broadcasting in college, and suddenly I can't read. That's how bad it was. I thought I'd make a mistake and you'd laugh at me. I didn't know you yet. I thought I'd be subject to ridicule again. Well, Grace looked at me and said, "That's fine." And then she hugged me, which we did in person in the old days. Hard to do on Zoom, but in the old days, we did this. I shivered through my whole body because I didn't feel worthy of that hug. I didn't feel worthy of it all. I'm not lovable. I have a broken family. My job's in the toilet. I'm eating myself to death. You'll love me till I can love myself? What kind of a cult is this? But that was the haymaker for me. I wanted to leave. I really did. Higher power said, "Nope, get in there and sit down." I did that. Then I started listening to you share. And I heard people that had the same thoughts, feelings, and emotions had done the same things with food that I had done. Using food to solve a problem that it will never solve. I had a disease of more. All it wanted was more, and more was never enough. I used food to compensate for everything, you know? It was my go-to. Remember, medicine, comfort, love. Well, I listened to you guys. I went home that night, and I didn't sleep. All I could think of is that warm welcome. And I had this little feeling inside that maybe I was part of something. Maybe this is it. You know, up until then, it sure wasn't. And I decided to go back. Okay, I'll try another meeting. You know, that wasn't bad. I didn't die. Well, that was a Saturday. And it was January 4th, 1992. It is now 11,781 days ago, one day at a time. Normies would call that, I don't know, 32 years, some odd months and some days. But I do one day at a time because if I don't, my head will tell me I'm cured. Just like it did back when I was put in the Louvre with the other statues. Only to be shipped off into the back room and put back in my crate. By the way, I did the Louvre in a wheelchair. Because compulsive eating had done a lot of damage to my body. I've had a hip replaced. I used a CPAP machine for severe sleep apnea. Multiple blood pressure medications. The CPAP mask. I woke up one time with a mask on my face and my mouth full of binge food. That's how far this disease will take me. I could have died. Did that stop me from eating? No. No, it didn't. Did doing the Louvre in a wheelchair stop me? No, it didn't either. No, I wasn't ready yet. I didn't have that gift of desperation yet. I wasn't willing. None of that had happened. It wasn't until later. That pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. I had a flight attendant one time. I had to ask for a seatbelt extender. She held it over her head and walked down the main aisle and said, "We have a big one in the back." Everybody was laughing. It was an airline that likes comedy. I wasn't laughing. Did that stop me from eating? No. No, it didn't. In fact, I probably binged over it. That's what I used to do. That was my go-to, you know? Tell you what, gift of desperation. For me, a bottom was a good thing. It likely saved my life. Folks that don't hit bottoms die with this. I lost a good buddy, good trudging buddy, a couple months ago. He'd had gastric bypass surgery. Couldn't hold on to it. Meetings weren't for him. Cellulitis, gained the weight back. Portions got bigger. He was cured, just like I was. He was no different than me. The only thing I had was this program and the 12 steps. That's really the only difference between us. Where am I now? Well, I'm half the man I used to be. That's higher power's joke. I've lost 165 pounds and I weigh 165 pounds. At my biggest, I got up to a 60-inch waist. I have a 30-inch waist today. These are gifts. Nothing I did. My higher power did this for me. Why? A few years ago, I heard his voice and he said, "I saved you to give you value and purpose through service to others. To keep it, you have to give it away, and it's the only way I can pay Grace back. I don't know where she is. She was somewhere in Orange County Intergroup, California. You know, I hope she's had a great life. I'll always love her. That's the thing about this program. We throw boulders into lakes and the ripples go out everywhere. We never know where they go, but that doesn't matter. We're practicing the 12th step. We're carrying the message to those that still suffer. We may not even know it, and we may save a life like Grace did mine. So what happened in that first couple of years? Divorce was final. Higher power gave me a life partner in program. Imagine that. Last thing I was looking for. We were married 31 years a couple of Wednesdays ago. Her sponsor didn't think it was a good idea, you know, because the first couple of years, you really shouldn't do anything major. Well, I don't know where that sponsor is, but I know where my wife is. That is the greatest gift. Higher power gave me that. But I had to change. She didn't deserve the old person. The big book tells us we stand on a new spiritual foundation. And that's what had to happen. The old one had to die. Is it perfect? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Today I have something called food neutrality. Something that I thought was impossible for a guy like me. I'm the guy that went to the refrigerator 30 times a day to inventory its contents. Why? Because I'm a compulsive overeater. That's why. There's a light that goes on when you open the door. I used to think that was my higher power. It's not. It's the tractor beam to hell. It's really for me. You might be different. You might be able to open the door and go, oh yeah, there's stuff in there. Today, that doesn't call me. That was an amazing miracle for a guy like me. It doesn't talk to me. I can be anywhere, be around anything. It's nutrition now. Nothing more. That's a gift. That is a real gift. What else have the steps done for me? Well, the fourth step inventory and the fifth step. I have child abuse in my background. You know, the adaptive thing was great, but it wasn't. And what the fourth step showed me was my part. As a child, maybe I didn't have a part. Maybe there should have been someone that helped me, could have, would have, should have. Just didn't happen. And it was bad. I won't go into it. But that fourth step showed me my part was holding on to that as an adult. I'm a survivor, not a victim. That's a gift. I carried that anger, resentment, all those feelings around for a long time. I wanted to be bigger than you so that you couldn't hurt me. If I was intimidating, if I was larger than normal, I played football to hurt people. I was angry. You wouldn't hurt me. So that extra armor, character defect, shortcoming, whatever you want to call it, actually helped save me. You know, until it didn't. It had also got me to be able to see that person in a whole different light. He was sick too. He had Huntington's disease, which is a neurological disorder that you don't make the best decisions and you don't really have control over all your faculties. Before he passed away, I was able to tell him I loved him and he did the best he could. I believe that today. That was not possible without the program in 12 steps. And through that, I was free. I was free of those feelings of being a victim. The little kid in the back of the room that had no choice in anything. Not true anymore. I found my biological family on both sides. I was able to look my biological parents in the eye, tell them I loved them, and they did the best they could. I couldn't have written the story that I found out to be true. It was one of love and sacrifice by both of them. When I'm a victim and no one loves me, and all that, those are the tapes at play. What I found was, that wasn't true. I was put up for adoption because they did love me. I have four siblings. I always knew they were there. I just hadn't met them yet. And one of them came here with her husband a couple of weeks ago with their Airstream and camped on our land. I mean, who gets this? Who gets this? What have I learned really quickly? We've got 30 seconds left. It's easier to stay than it is to come back. It's easier for me to hold on to no abstinence than it is to get that back. Today, my abstinence is being mindful and present because I wasn't. I was mindlessly eating and killing myself with food. Today, I get to live a life beyond my wildest dreams, like our Roseanne, our founder, said. Founded in November 1960, they knew I'd be along in November. They had to get this ready for me. I just didn't find it for 30 years. That's the story. So, grateful's too small of a word. It doesn't describe how I feel. I'm Rob. I'm a compulsive overeater, 100 pounder, and thank you for listening today. And thank you for welcoming me to your ladies' meeting. I really appreciate it.